can.
What time is it going to be?
So let's try for, let's say, an hour before on Sunday. 30. Usually end up starting like 11:45. Let's make it 10:45. 10:45 Sunday. Let's try for an hour and a half Monday. So let's go for 11:30. And let's also do Tuesday 11:30. And Thursday, we may need a longer shear Thursday, but so let's try from 9:30. And let's see. Okay. I won't be able to do it on Monday. I'll try to pick up with it afterwards. Maybe the next Monday we can, when people are studying, whoever wants, and maybe the one after that we can make up that way. What? You know, whatever you think. 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And if anybody, you know, if we don't get everybody in that way, so just let me know. And I'm also around in the afternoons. Sometimes it gets busy, but especially Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. We can try for that. So let's try to get that in. Okay, in terms of the schedule, it seems like it really is like 2 weeks earlier than usual. So, you know, if you need the week, I'll give you the week. So we'll try to finish up by Thursday, but that means that we're in a little bit of, as I say, a time crisis. So what I want to get in, we're not going to get everything in, but I'd like to, at least to finish up the Gemara until Samach Zayin Amud Beis, most of which you've probably seen anyway, in terms of what I gave you, Shini Koneh. There's already Samach Vav Amud Beis, Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Samach. So let's get through the Shakla V'Tarya, Samach Zayin Amud Beis. There will be a few things, obviously, that we'll have to get back to in the beginning of the next Zman, including the big Mitzvah Babavera issue, the huge Tosas Rabbein Tam and the Ri. That's an important topic. We're not going to skip that. And a few other things, Mishkav Avolo HaGazol, a few other things that come up, but we're going to try to do it quickly in the start of the next Zman. So we'll just fill in a few little things that we left out, a few little points on Samach Vav Amud Beis and Samach Zayin Amud Aleph and Samach Zayin Amud Beis, but especially that topic, the big topic that we'll start with will be Mitzvah Babavera. Then once we finish the Mitzvah Babavera, again we'll go through the rest of the Shakla V'Tarya. But the next big topic, Hani Maisa, Nishtarish Maisa, maybe we'll say a few more words about. But pretty much we did that. You should know that for the Bechina already. After that, the next big topics are on Samaches, Amud Beis, and the issue of Tznuin and Rabbi Yochanan, and you know what that leads us into. So that's kind of the general plan. Which means that I just want to finish, if not comprehensively, at least like hit the basic issues of Shinui Koneh, which we're going to start with now, and then Sunday, and then also Yiyush Koneh, and Yiyush and Shinui Rishus. So I'm just going to give you a list. A scaled down list, but a list of Yush and Yush and Shina Rishus. Again, a lot of the Gemaras overlap, but some of the things that we've seen already, these Gemaras on Samach Vav through Samach Zayin Amud Beis. So again, make sure you've just gone through the whole Shaka Vatari to Samach Zayin Amud Beis and know that well. But in terms of Yush, Big Zelo Baveda, just add to the picture Bava Kama Samach Vav Medalev Samach Vav Amud Beis Yush Amra Banan De Niknu. Again, hopefully you've seen that anyway. That's part of the Gemara that we're reading. Until the Ze'ena Rotza Liknos, that's the most important part. And Tosas there, Dirmaskol, Hachanami, and Tosas Rebbe Peretz, again in the old sheet, 228, column 2, Dirmaskol, Midi Dahavi. And then to finish the Shakla V'Tarya regarding Yush, which is Samach Vav Amud Beis through Samach Zayin Amud Beis, just that whole Shakla V'Tarya, from Esvei till Rav Papa Amra. It has other things too, including Shinui, that we've already seen, so there really isn't so much. In connection to that, also the very, very important sugya, which you haven't seen yet, Bav Metzia Chavav Amud Beis, we've made allusion to Tosis's view about Tashlumin being a form of Nita Klase, but that's, you know, one of the main Tosis's, but that sugya is very important. Bav Metzia Chavav Amud Beis, starting from V'Omar Rava, Ra Sela Shanafla, that's how it begins, until Ela Mishum Lo Sukhal His Aleim Bilvad. Okay, got that? And there, Tosas Divra Maskal Matana, and the Rush there, Perig Beis Sof Simin Tes, in Bamitsiya, in Ela Mitsiyas, in other words, and also the Balamor and Ramban on that Sugya. Balamor and Ramban in Bamitsiya. It's Yud Dalet Amud Beis and the Dape Harif, and that's Sugya of Chav Vav Amud Beis. Very important, Balamor and Ramban. In connection with that, Tosfos and Bava Kamma, Samach Vav Amud Aleph, because the issue is to try to figure out whether or not Yush of Gzela, how could Yush of Gzela exist? After all, if the Makar is Yush Baveda, and Yush Baveda is Behetera Asaliade, so how could that be? How that defies any extension, or would seem to defy any extension to Gzela, which is Beisura Asaliade. So that's the discussion. So Tosfos Bava Kamma Samach Vav Amud Aleph Dibra Masal Kivin to be Yisura Asal Yadai, and of course the very famous Tosfos also Tosfos Samach Tes Amud Aleph. That's not, we haven't learned that sugya yet, but just look at the Tosfos quickly. Dibra Masal Kol Shaloktu, question whether Yiush is treated as Hefker Linyan Meiser and other such things. We're going to have to elaborate that probably more at a later date when we get to the Tosfos, but at least to know that Tosfos now, Samach Tes Amud Aleph. And then the famous Nesivos, Reish Samach Beis, Sif Katan Gimel. Yush being Hefker, not Hefker, Siluk, what exactly is Yush? And then connection to that, the Rambam and the Ravid, just remember the Rambam and the Ravid and the Grach of Tes Aleph, we've already seen it a few times. So far we discussed that when we're talking about Abadim, and when we're talking about Mazik and Gezel in Gezel, and Avadim in terms of, you know, Avadim Bukshila Karkos. But what about the fact that Yesh Yush Bavadim, that view of the Ravid? Right? So just that's what I'm interested in now. What about Yesh Yush Bavadim? And Reb Chaim's formulation on that point. Also Tosis and Sukkah, Lamed Amud Beis, and the end of, it's a huge Tosis, but the end of Divrei Maskil V'Karka in an Exeles, what he talks about to the Yerushalmi in Kelayim, about whether Yesh Yush Bakarka or not. Okay, and also the parallel Tosis, the littler Tosis, in Bava Basra Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Dafka, and I didn't write the Mar Mokom on my page here, but the Nesivos also, when he talks about Avadim and Shtaros, whether it's Yesh Yush Bavadim Ushtaros, an interesting Nesivos. I think I made a reference to it earlier in the year. So that's in terms of Kinyan Yush Begzela Ubaveda. In terms of Yush Vashina Rishus, so also add Tosis Bava Kamma Samach Vav Amud Beis, Dibra Maskel Shma Mina. The Rajba Ngitin Nun Hei Amud Beis V'i Amris Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz Samach Ches Amud Aleph Dibra Maskel Af Mechira She'ena Chozeres and Dibra Maskel V'lo Tema. Again, that's part of the Gemara that we talked about in Shana and Nishtarish Bechet, so you should be familiar with it. The Balamor and the Ramban on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, and it goes to Lamachil, Balamor Dibra Maskel Tana Umachzir, and Mechomos Dibra Maskel Umasha Kosav Od, on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, and the Tosis Rid in Bava Kamma Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, I'm sorry, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Dibra Maskel Amar Rami Bar Chama. The Rambam Shita, based on the Gemara, just to make sure you've seen the Gemara, Bava Kamma Kuftez Vavam and Aleph, that's Shakla Vataria, very briefly, the order of things, Miyush and Shina Rishus, that's the famous Shita Sarambam, whether you can reverse the order and have Shina Rishus of Achakaki Yush. So the Rambam's Psak in Perik Hei, Hilchos Gneva Halacha Gimel, and in Perik Beis of Hilchos Gzela Halacha Gimel, and the Rajba in Bava Kamma Kufyud Dalet Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Tana Umachzir Labailam Arishonim, quotes the Ravid, that's important as well. It's in the old Mechubetzis on page 339. Tosfos Bava Kamma, Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Samach Zayin Amud Beis, that's the big one about Mitzvah Bavera. We're not going to go into that, the Mitzvah Bavera aspect of it, but if you could just look at the very end of Dibra Maskel Amar Ula, that would be helpful. And Rashi on Kuf Yud Dalid Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Hare Elu Shalo, and the Rabbi Kivager's comment in Gilui Nashas there, and Tosfos Bava Kamma Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Hashta Torah Dur Shimon, Mikar Torah Ruvain Hashta Torah Ruvain, as opposed to Mikar Torah Ruvain Hashta Torah Dur Shimon. I think we already made reference to that Tosfos earlier. And then finally, two other Makaros, Bava Kamma Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Omer Av Chizda, until Kitanya Hahilach Hayiush. And Tosis there, Dir Masel, Gezel Velonis Yahshua Habailim, and the Hagos HaShri there. And the Ksos in Shin Nun Gimel Aleph and in Shin Samach Beis Aleph. Again, we'll try our best. I know we're moving very quickly, but these are big topics, but I want at least have finished off Kinyanei Gzela by the end of this month, so we'll have the basics at least. We'll fill it in maybe as we see more Gemaras and Rishonim along the way, the Shaka V'Tarya, but at least we'll have the basics of Shinui Kone, Yiyush Kone, Yiyush Bavedo Ubigzela, and Yiyush Vishinu Rishos. Okay. Good. Okay. Firstly, before we begin with Shinui Kone, just a brief comment about Rabbi Yaakov. Okay, so somebody just wants to read very quickly. Donnie, you want to read this quickly? The Gemara on the top of Samach Amud Beis, just to make... Gemara is in the context of... Gemara is in the context of analyzing... Actually, it starts the last... What is it, the last line? The last few lines of Samach Amud Aleph, just very quickly. Yeah, Tani Rab Chanina. Balabai Shaitan Tainus Ganav Vipikadam Vinejba. Three lines from the bottom. Which is just the halacha that what? What's that halacha? That Moda Biknas, right, is going to be potter. So he's not going to pay a kefel, he's not going to pay anything, any other knas. Correct, go ahead. Im shabau edim hoda? Div Rabbi Yaakov. Right? Div Rabbi Yaakov. So this is just a very interesting. And then the Gemara goes on. The rest we know. Tani mias chomish olalo bikfelo div Rabbi Yaakov and hechadami. The Gemara wants to bring a raya from there for Kain Shaganav that we already saw. But this halacha itself just requires two brief comments. Number one, both Shitas Chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov are mechudash, but in different ways. Shitas Chachamim is a chiddush. In what way, Donnie? What is Shitas Chachamim? Or Shitas Chachamim, and by extension also Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who goes even a step further. Ein chomesh va'asham mishtalim b'makom sheish kef, as opposed to just ein chomesh. What's the chiddush in that? If we didn't have any of this, what would we have thought? That Chomesh or the Chomesh or Asham somehow is affected by the presence of Kefa. Why is that a Kiddush?
Why is it connected?
Exactly. I mean, we have two different, on the surface, we have two different Mechayvim. It's a strange halacha that just because you have two, that one cancels out the other. It's Gzeres HaKasu, right? Birosho V'chamishiso. Mamun mishtalim barosh, mosif chomesh. Mamun sheim mishtalim barosh, ein mosif chomesh. But it's a strange gzeres hakasuv in a way, because it's not as if, you know, if you just read the pesukim, you didn't realize what you were talking about. You would thought that, you know, if it's one kind of chiyuv, then there is a chomesh, and if it's a different kind of a chiyuv, then there's no chomesh. But that isn't what's happening. The karen is the same karen. Just in one case, the karen is accompanied by kefel. And the other case, the karen is not accompanied by kefal. Why does the extra ingredient of the kefal impact on the chomesh? Normally, this kind of gzeres hakasuv would mean if it's this kind of chiyuv, it triggers a knas, and if it's that kind of chiyuv, then it doesn't. But here, the karen, which is connected to the chomesh and the asham, is identical in both cases. Just that you have an additional chiyuv kefal that you don't have in all circumstances. So why should that affect anything? So it's just a strange halacha. It's a very strange halacha that that somehow one of these neutralizes or cancels out or is poter the other. Now there are, I think, two ways to explain it, very different ways. How would you explain it, Donnie? I mean, you don't have to explain it at all. You could just say it's a gzeres hakasuv and walk away. But if there is some inner logic to it, it could be, I think, one of two things. Yeah, number one, that there is some sort of a common denominator, and therefore there's a certain superfluity in all of this, meaning it's redundant to be mechayev you chomesh and asham, or chomesh according to that, you know, one mandamar, or the other is chomesh v'asham, and kefil at the same time, because in a way they overlap. That would lead us to conclude something very important about kefil, because we did discuss whether or not kefil is stamaknas, and in theory you could, you know, it just happens that we give it to this fellow, and it happens to be double, so it has the effect of, you know, payback, right? A kind of kashazomam lachiv, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Geneva, right? As well as in Mor Nevuchim, that, you know, this is not just a, and the chinuch, this is not just an arbitrary number, but this is, you know, feel his pain, see what it feels like, but maybe not. And that would also be more of a reason to see it as a kind of duplication of the be'en and triggered by the ma'isa, and it is automatic and so on and so forth. Right? On the other hand, as we said, maybe that's all just an illusion. And really, kefil is no different than dal and behe, or than other knossos, which means that it is, you know, despite the fact that it happens to be a sum in which those explanations work, that's misleading. The real pshat is that it's a knoss. It's an additional knoss for Geneva and so on. And it really, you know, in theory, you could send it to Bezdin. If there had been a, you know, a halacha that you send it to Bezdin, or you give it to Tzedakah, you know, as opposed to giving it to the fellow himself, to the, you know, to the Nignav, that would be fine too. So basically, the idea that one is pota the other is a way of saying kefil is not really unusual. It's a knas, a regular knas like chiv asham v'chomesh. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I'm not sure, but then you would have to say that if it was limited if it was limited to the toin tanis ganav, you'd have to say that the kefil toin tanis ganav is very different than the regular kefil, which is something that we've said about gneva and possibly kefil as well. But maybe. The other possibility is that there's a different meta halacha here, and that we don't need to say any of this exactly. And that is, maybe this is a kind of a kam le bedrava mine halacha. In other words, the reason that A is poter B is not because it's superfluous or redundant to have both, because they're both, you know, extra knossos. How many? It's, you know, and therefore they serve the same kind of general, they're both punishments of the same type, therefore you don't give both. But it's a general halacha in knossos, and that is, it's a kind of like a kam le bedrava mine of knossos. And if there is a gzeres hakasav here, that gzeres hakasav just establishes that we view these things as being mitzurafim, because one could have argued for different ways. You could have said ha'luchude v'koy v'ha'luchude koy, not only in the mechaybim, but even technically in the, you know, in the way that we look at this case. You know, there's no reason to put these on the same page or bring them to the same judge even. So maybe the Gzeres HaKasuv, the Chiddush of the Gzeres HaKasuv is, no, we really look and we assess, we evaluate all of the outstanding chiyuvim of this act. And once we do that, then maybe there's a special halacha, which is that two knossos you never pay. Even if the knoss of kefil really is about a kind of kasher zamam, and it's not just a onesh hagavra. If it's, you know, even if it is more about, you know, the victim himself and so on. Nonetheless, it's just a halacha that you don't have two knossos on one maisa, which is the way some people understand in general the idea of a kind of a kam le bedrava mine idea. So either way, this is a very big and a very interesting chiddush. On the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov's chiddush is equally interesting, although quite different. Yeah.
Can you say within the Chachamim that maybe you're accomplishing both mechayvim, that both of them exist, and by giving one payment, you're accomplishing both of them?
It doesn't say, I mean,
like one about giving one.
I think you could say that maybe if you looked at kefil as a, as I say, just as a punishment. If you said that the first pshat, which is that the reason that A can be poter B is because A and B are more similar than they seem, then I think you could say that. You could say, well, you don't need to, it's, you know, you don't need to comp, you don't need to do it twice because you've already done it, you know, by one. But according to the second idea I'm suggesting is it's a kind of a, A is poter B even though A has nothing to do with B. That's just the din of that's this Xeris HaKasuv in Geneva, or it's a more general idea in Knossos. So you don't have two Knossos for one Maisa or one general Maisa. Then I think we're not saying that at all.
So in the first Mahalach, we say, like, say Kevel is like giving and Chomish about taking, so you're accomplishing giving and taking in one payment.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's strange. That would be strange. If you want to make that difference, which is what exactly what we're discussing, then I would be more comfortable saying the second rather than the first.
Because Rashi said in the beginning,
Amrav
says,
Sharei
Chomish Lebalim Hu Hushaka. Sharei Chomish Lebalim Hu Hushaka. And he took it, implying that maybe the Chomish is about the Balim taking it, and Kepa is about him giving.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I'm just saying, if the more you see them as very, very different, the bigger a chiddush it is that A is poter B, and I think you just have to explain it in a different way. On the other hand, just one more second, if we could just get in Rabbi Yaakov, since you have your hand up, so what about Rabbi Yaakov? Rabbi Yaakov has another Kiddush. And then there's a machlokas between Rashi, Tosis, and the Tosis Rid, how to understand Rabbi Yaakov. What is the Kiddush of Rabbi Yaakov?
He says that you use the Kepel is equal to the
Chomish. Yeah, well, the similarity in the Gemara says that if they're equal, so then it works. That's how the similarity in the Gemara. So the Tosis Rid denies it completely. What does Tosis Rid say? Tosis Rid says that we happen to be talking about a case. You know, the Gemara just mentions a case where you happen to have a chomesh, which is the equivalent of kefa. Who has the Tosafot Rid open? Anybody? You want the Tosafot Rid here? You have it in your thing? The Tosafot Rid denies basically the whole Gemara, which is kind of sad, but it's important in the range of Shitas. Basically, what he's denying is that according to Rabbi Yaakov, there is any real relationship between kefa and chomesh and asham at all. Especially, let's leave it Chomish and Kefal. He just says, no, all the Gemara meant was that you can have a case where the Chomish and the Kefal are the same amount. Okay. How could that ever be? That's the Gemara's continuation. How could it ever be if, in fact, you don't hold Keshas Hamad Abedin? That's the Gemara's question. But it has no substantive meaning or significance whatsoever. Because, you have it there? Go ahead. Noah, go ahead. I think so. Yeah, it's a chaf and the bek kif. So we're just being told, by the way, it's possible that a chomesh and the kefal will come out to the same amount of money, but of course we'll pay both. So the Shaka Vitari of the Gemara is just about the statement in the Brisa, the coincidental statement. There's no halacha here. Which means that according to Rabbi Yaakov, now that's not difficult conceptually or legally at all. I mean, Rabbi Yaakov is saying, according to Tosas Rid, have nothing to do with each other. There's a chi of chomer, there's a chi of keto. You have to pay both. However, the simple reading of the Gemara is not like the Tosas Rid. So then you have the Chiddush of Rashi and a more moderate view, let's say, of Tosas. What's the Chiddush of Rashi, Daniel? Exactly when they're equal. If they come out to exact the same amount, then you don't have to pay then you don't have to pay the chomesh. So what do you think about that? So it's a very interesting idea, obviously. Now we're not talking about being poter, we're talking about being here we're talking about, to use Yoni's language, about being nichlal, right? About overlapping. But for a totally different reason than what we're talking about in the Rabbana. So what we're saying is, Rashi seems to be saying, if the Chomesh is Nikar, as it is, then it can be used, then you don't have to pay it separately. Then it can be used, Betoras Kefel. So basically what comes out, what seems to come out, is that the Chomesh is not really a Chi of Mamon. It expresses itself in Mamon, but isn't really, if it was really a Chi of Mamon, and the Chomesh was different than the Kefel, Chomish l'chud v'kefa l'chud as mechaibim. So how can you fulfill one with the other? You owe $100, right? And then you owe another $100. Okay, they both come out the same. What is a chomesh and what is a kefel? So just because it happens coincidentally to come out the same, all of a sudden you save $100. You don't have to give $100. If it's a chi of mammon, if the knas is a chi of mammon here, it makes no sense. Apparently, there's something about this knas. It's a chi of nesina. It's defined by a certain value, by a chomesh, symbolically, but it's apparently, the chomesh part at least, is not about the money at all. It's a chi of nesinas chomesh to make a point. It's not to enrich the recipient, and it's not necessarily even to financially punish the criminal. It's symbolic that he should add a chomesh to show Keilu that what he did, you know, was more than about money. After all, he's returning the ben, he's paying the karen. The penalty is a chomesh to show, by the way, what you did was more than about money. It isn't to punish him more. And it's not to enrich the other fellow, I think. And that's what you have to say for Rashi. So as long as there's a chalos, chomesh, which is nikar, and it's not muvla, so you've made that point. And why chomesh? That would also work out nicely. We sometimes find that chomesh, chomesh is like, you know, sometimes we find it with shlish. We talked about this a little bit last year. We talked about onah, right? Onah for the Ramban and the Muchamos, but, you know, up to the third. But let's say tzedakah's, you know, chomesh. Pidyon and Hektesh is Chomesh. Here is Chomesh. I'm speculating, but I think the idea is that Chomesh is, you know, that's it's related to the actual sum, but it's a way of showing that it isn't just about money. You know, there's a certain value in all of this, but we're going to the higher end of that value. So Shtus is maybe the range of an actual price. This is more. This isn't, you know, within the range. This is a plus. But it's not such a plus that it's like a separate mechay. So that's why we find chomesh, I think, in these cases. You're always adding something, but not to the point that it's an add-on, if you understand me. It's a hosafa leben, or it's a hosafa. It's not a new or separate penalty. So that's why, according to Rashi, as long as it's nikar and it's not muvla, and you're doing that, and it's you know, you're making the symbolic point, then that's fine. Of course, my comment about the amount of chomesh, I should just let me just add that. I'm trying to explain that within this category and in general why what chomesh stands for, where we find it. That doesn't mean that in some cases it isn't also an additional chiyuv, a hosafa leben. But here it isn't for the point of receiving or necessarily giving or being, you know, being punished that amount as much as it is symbolically showing that we're going beyond the ban. And we can already do that in terms of, and that's what we're being punished for. And that's what the crime really was. And therefore, even if there's no financial repercussion whatsoever, as long as there's a chalos nesina, Shal chomesh, that's sufficient. Yeah.
Is there suggesting that the reason why chomesh is what it is because it's the only next possible step after shlus?
I didn't say that. That's an interesting thought. Maybe I don't know. Because shlus is the. I think that's a good point.
Yeah,
is that really true? Yeah. Right. 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 Well, we find third also. We find third in terms of hidur mitzvah. And that's why I thought, as I pointed out last year, that's what I was saying about you know, the Ramban. You know, the Ramban is a daya that will be the shiur for karka, you know, and avodim and things of that sort. But I think, yeah, I mean, if the shtus is the range, so then, you know, I guess the next, if you want to go to show we are adding a plus, it's going to be chomesh. Yeah. I didn't say that, but I think it's a good point. Yeah.
If the chumash is more than the kefel, it should have the same din as if the chumash is equal to the kefel.
I'm not sure, because since you have to, the point is this: The point is that it should be nikar that you're giving it, and it's not a minimum. It's a precise amount, and if you still have to, what do you want to say in a case where? One second.
He was 20. The chumash is 40.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I still think it could be mechalek. But the opposite case, of course, is the case of Tosas. Let's say you have the Chomesh is 20 and the Kefil is 40. Right. So in that case, Rashi says that will certainly not work. And Tosas says even that should work. But even, let me put it this way, even Tosas agrees that if it was the case that you talked about, that it wouldn't work. That's a simple reading of Tosas. Why? Because Tosas thinks that the Chomesh has to be, put it this way, I guess the Desina is the Kefel. You're giving the Kefel. And if you have to give the Kefel and then more, so then in a way you're breaking up the Chomesh. That seems to be the problem that Tosas has. And you can't break up the Chomesh. The Chomesh is one single chalos. Again, for the same reason, except that Tosas isn't going as far as Rashi. And it's not about money. If it's about money, so what do we really care if it's more or the equivalent or less? Just compensate. You know, whatever outstanding discrepancy there is, just pay it. Tosas seems to be fine with the fact that if the Kefel is 40 and the Chomesh is 20, then you're in good shape. What he doesn't like is the opposite. Right? That the Chomesh is 40 and that the Kefel is 20. But if it was about, you know, olalo b'damav in a monetary way, it wouldn't make a difference one way or another. So what Tosas is agreeing with Rashi is that there has to be, unlike Rashi, Rashi says there has to be a separate Nesinas Chomesh. And the Nesinas Chomesh and the Nesinas Kefel can be viewed, it can be, I think that's the point, it's Nesinas Kefel and it's Nesinas Chomesh separately. But if it was Muvla in any way, then it wouldn't be Nesinas Chomesh. That whole theme would be lost. And your point is well taken, but maybe Rashi would say even in the other extreme. Since Kefel, let's say, is the primary obligation, so basically what you're really doing is you're giving 20 and then you're giving another 20. And by doing that, by breaking it up, that's no longer the Chalos Chomesh. That second point, even Tosas agrees to, even though they disagree with the first point, apparently Tosas thinks you don't need a Nesina Nikeres for Chomesh. All you need is that Chomesh shouldn't be broken up into two. But as long as the Chomesh is Nichlal B'Kefel, even if it's Muvla, that's fine too. Okay, anyways, that's so much for... I think I'd Donnie wanted to ask first, and then I'll get to the end. Go ahead.
Why did Chomesh assume that the Kefel is... This is the answer to the Kefel is the Rav, why do they assume the Kefel is the Rav?
Why do they think that?
The Kefel is a greater field. Is it just because it's generally more, or is it more money, or is it...
I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe it's more basic. Maybe because of the you know the reasoning of you know this. Maybe that at least as far as that is concerned, the fact that the Kefel has an inner logic is more of a reason to focus on it. I'm not sure. I mean, again, it is based partially on Gzeiros HaKasuv. This Gzeiros HaKasuv is to limit Chomesh. It's not to limit Kefel. This is Barosho. Right, v'chamishiso. So, just technically, that you know, it's in the context of that. But maybe also because it's that one is more of an onesh than the kefo, which is more logical. I'm not sure, but that's sure I'm not. Yoni, bad.
Is it possible for Rashi that it's beyond the ma'isin nesina to also a kabbalah? Because he took the shua to the baal to appease the baal. So you need more than just the Nesina, but you need a Kabbalah.
I'm just saying, if there wasn't an element of Nesina, why would we care if it's Muvla? Either way, the guy gets his Chomesh.
Like a whole nice Nesina with a Kabbalah.
Okay, could be. Okay, anyways, I think it's a little interesting little issue, both for the Chachamim and for Rabbi Yaakov, especially Rashi Shita, I think, is very intriguing. This idea that the Chomesh is not a Chi of Mammon, really. It's just a way of accenting and emphasizing that, you know, that there was more than mammon involved here, and therefore there has to be a nesina nikeres, even if it's not a choshe mishpat nesina at all. I think it's a very fascinating sheet. Tosfos Reed denies the whole thing. Tosfos Reed is hard to read the Gemara, but you can understand the logic of it. I mean, just why chomish l'chud, keva l'chud. I mean, it's just strange. Well, okay. Anyways, let's continue. So now we get to the issue of shinui kone. Okay, Yitzi, maybe you want to read? Okay, let's skip down to, where are we in that? Amar Rabbi Loi. Is that where we are? Okay, Amar Rabbi Loi. The last of the short lines. Oh. So now we've introduced for the first time the idea of Nasa Shinu Biyado Ukana'o. And the case is an interesting case. Tlev Nasa Ayel, Ega Vanasa Shor. Because even if you believe that Shinu is Kona, Yitzi, right, you still might have been a little surprised about this case. And maybe that'll help us that we should be surprised. Why? Or what's unusual about this case? Yeah. Number one, it's a shinui d'mimela, not a shinui biyadayim. Even if you say shinui kone, that's one of the things we'll have to investigate. Do you need a shinui biyado, or it makes no difference? Right? This is a shinui d'mimela. Moreover, how radical a shinui is it? It's another question. Right? Number one, it isn't. It's natural rather than through activity. And secondly, is it enough of a shinui? That would be the second question. Okay. Rashi emphasizes the mimela and the biadayim aspect of it. Let's just read the Rashi quickly. Later on, v'nakninu b'shini Hashem, v'hi the shevach gufe lohave, lohave shinui, d'mimela kashavach, we'll get to that in a second. But basically, Rashi is emphasizing that the problem with, if there's a problem with Tlev and Asa Ayol, the problem would be that it's Mimela, not Biyadayim. But as I say, there also might be a qualitative question, and namely, that is physical growth, especially natural physical growth, you see, it being natural is a dual problem in a way. Right? One, that it's not Biyadayim. So there's no active catalyst here. But two, the fact that it is natural and it is, you know, anticipatable and so on, in a way also makes it less qualitatively of a shinui. Okay, I discussed that already when we talked about suggesting different things for the Rambam about Tleka de Mikara and Damim Kedahashta, right? So in a way, you know, we pray that every Tle, you know, will become an ayah. Right? And, you know, so we don't take it for granted, but since it is the natural order of things, so how big a shinui is that? You're going to say, oh, wow, you know, the aisle, you know, we can barely remember when it was a tle. Its history as a tle is irrelevant to us. Panim chadashas bo leka. You know, not really. The fact that it is predictable and anticipatable. Again, I'm not talking about now some things are also, you know, very transformative. There are certain natural changes or metamorphoses that take place that are very radical. Go ahead, Aaron.
Caterpillar.
Yeah, caterpillar. Right, everybody's favorite. So that's pretty radical. So there you might say, you know, it is anticipatable, but it's remarkable each time, isn't it? So, it's just, you know, amazing each time you see it. So, what are you going to say about the butterfly? Right? I remember him when he was a caterpillar. You know, it's, in one sense, yes, because that's the natural order of things. But, in another sense, the change is so radical, you know, that, maybe it's different. But Tlev and Asa Ayel then is three strikes against it, I would say. Number one, it's Mimela. Number two, it's Mimela and therefore it's anticipatable. And number three, it's just about size. It's not a radical transformation. And yet, there's a day here in the Gemara that says, Tlev v'nasa ayil, egel v'nasa shor, nasa shinu biyado, ukeno. Question is, are there people who are going to argue just on this case, because of one or all of these three factors? Is it possible that this is going to be limited to one area of Shinui and not other areas? Because we'll soon see that that Shinui isn't only an issue in Hilchos Gzeila, but it applies to other areas of Halacha. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a only size, though, because there's some biological functions.
Right, okay. Right. To the extent, the extent that there are changes and that the maturation process brings about those qualitative changes, you know, it's the caterpillar and the butterfly. But, you know, Aval Pichain. Right. So that you're right. I mean, that's something to consider. Are the Rishonim, are the Deas in the Gemara that say that Tle Vinasa Ayol is a proper Shinui, are they arguing because they think that it doesn't matter, that it's only more, or that it's purely natural? Or are they saying, if you had a better, more sophisticated eye, you would realize that there's a serious transformation going on here? After all, you know, biologically, physiologically, there are things that a tle can do that an ayil can't do, and those changes are important. Yeah.
Could this be coming from a coaching perspective?
What do you mean?
Tle and ayil are different halachically.
Yeah. Well, we'll get that in a second. I mean, that's Tosas makes the point when the Gemara in a second is going to say that, you know, in terms of is there a shinui hashem. So Tosas is going to point out that halachically, in terms of karbanos, we think that there's a difference. And that's, you know, the world of halacha is a reality of its own. So absolutely, I think these are issues to consider. So the question of mimela biadayim is one kind of problem. The quality of the shinui, both in terms of how much of a transformation, as well as how natural the transformation, is a second kind of issue. Go ahead. Oh. So here already we have a daya that seems to be saying that Klevenas Ayel, right, is not a shinui, or it's not shinui kona, at least. Amalei. Yeah. Amalei. Right. Okay, this part we discussed. We both discussed whether Shinui Kona affects Kefel, or it's the Shinui that is reflected by Shinui Kona that affects Kefel. And we also discussed whether this is, what kind of halacha is this? Is this another way of saying Emein Gneve in Tzvichon Mechira, or in Kefel, this idea of Rachmanon Etzon Mehaidaitav, Tura Gonvi Mimach, Dichur Gonvi Mimach, etc. Okay. But so far what we have then is a machlokas regarding, for our purposes now, Tlev v'nasa ayil, whether or not it is considered to be a shinui linyan kinyan or not. Okay, so far we have that machlokas. Maske flor b'zeira. Okay, so first of all, now the Gemara has introduced a new element which we didn't encounter previously, and that is Shinui Hashem. Right, till now, the first Shinui that we encountered was Shinui Maisa, albeit, as we just explained, a pretty tenuous Shinui Maisa for various reasons. Now the Gemara is saying, forget about Shinui Maisa, what about Shinui Hashem? Now, Shinui Hashem is legamri bali maisa, and in theory, it might not imply serious physical transformation either. On the other hand, Shini Hashem has the advantage of, you see, what advantage does Shini Hashem have?
Maybe it's a
total status. It does zero in on the status, on the identity of the object more fully. Shini Maisa, you might say, well, it's something that you do, and the consequences of what you do, particularly in the context of Kinyanei Gzela, we might say, oh, it's a Maisa Gzela or a Maisa Kinyan. Can't say that by Shinui Hashem. On the other hand, Shini Hashem, the idea of a changed identity, is obviously the only thing that, that is significant about Shini Hashem. So Shini Hashem and its role is important here. Also significant that the psukim, the way Torah defines things, is significant for Shini Hashem. Is there any Shini Hashem outside of the Din Torah's recognition? We'll have to evaluate that as well. Is there a difference between the Shini Hashem of Din Torah and the Shini Hashem of Lashon Bnei Adam? We'll have to evaluate that too. That's, all those are discussed by the Rishonim and by the Poskim in this context. Okay, go ahead. We still have the Stira and Rabbi Loi. Oh, so here we have Velokani. Titania. Hey, below Shinu. Yeah, and then hey, below. Okay. And then the continuation of the Gemara says, Ad kan lo pligi ala demar savar shinikona, mar savar ein shinikona. Avalin in shlume kul alma kidimikar mishalem. How does that fix with the thing? And then the Gemara says, tsloim kidimikara gam kadasha, which we, that fills in where we were. Okay. But what we have here now is something sensational. As the Gemara started with Kleb and Asa Ayel, and then the Gemara said, well, maybe it's a Shini Hashem. And then the Gemara said, no, maybe the whole thing depends on Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And then they introduced us to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And what was interesting about that, Yitzi? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel do not argue about...
It's in the context of Eslan Zona.
Exactly. They don't argue about Shini Kona. They argue about Eslan Zona. So who says that the argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about Eslan Zona dictates... Shini Kona, right? Very strange Gemara. Moreover, so this is a very important Gemara, in that the Gemara links here Shinui of Gzela to Shinui of Esnan, at least in one direction. The Gemara seems to say that Beis Shammai, who doesn't believe in Shinui of Esnan, right, is not going to believe in Shini Kona either. Now, in theory, the simple reading of the Gemara would be, because the Gemara has now established that Shinui B'Gzela and Shinui B'Esnan are one halacha. And that's how some Rishonim interpret. And that's, you know, for good measure, that's certainly a way to read the Gemara on in the beginning of Apozel Eitzim, which we'll get to in just a second as well. At least according to Abaya. Abaya says there, we'll read in a minute, Yitzi, what does he say there, Abaya? I said, by the way, there are a whole bunch of Tanaim who say things. Remember?
All right, the Gemara brings down like a bunch of things.
We'll read it in just a minute. Yeah, what are they? Just some of them.
Esnan,
Rishis Hagez. Correct. What else? Gezel is in there, right?
Yeah.
What else? We'll read it in a minute. Brachos. Right? Whether you say bracha on what happens on a gazelle, you steal the chitim and you make them into the challah or whatever. Ein zeh mevarech ela menayitz. What else? Peya, right? Okay, a group. We'll see them in a second. So the Gemara says that kula mamru. The Abai says kula mamru davar echa. And who argues there? Yeah, we'll read it in a minute, but just since you prepared it, so...
Rava.
Right, Rava says, no, not necessarily. There's room to be mechalek between these cases. Okay, now Rava's position is... Both Abaya and Rava's positions could be complicated. The simple reading is, though, that Abaya thinks that all shinikone or enikone is one halacha, one issue. And Rava says, absolutely not. We'll have to reevaluate, though, within Abaya and within Rava. We'll do that in just a minute. But this Gemara here, in which the Gemara quotes Beis Shammai, that it doesn't work for Esnan, as a proof that it doesn't work for Gezel, would seem to work nicely with what seems to be the Abaya approach to things, namely that all Shinui is one halacha. If Shinui is all one halacha, how does that, what does that point to, in what direction? And what is the nature of that halacha? Yeah, just like we said before about Shinui Hashem. Right? Shinui Hashem being a substitute for Shinui Maisa points in a certain direction, namely that the problem, that the issue in Shinui Kona is an issue of identity. It's an objective question, Ha'im Panim Chadashas Bo Lechan or not. Correct? So if that's the issue, then Shinui Hashem might be as relevant, maybe even more relevant in a way, than Shinui Maisa. By the same token, if that's the issue, Ha'im Panim Chadashas Bo Lechan, or is it the same old chayfetz? Another way to ask the question, or a different way to ask the question, does it still retain links to its past, even if it's a new chayfetz? Is it a new chayfetz, or is it the same old chayfetz, you know, altered? Or is it a new chayfetz, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't, that we don't look back to its past? Right? Remember the caterpillar and the butterfly, right? That's a different question. Where you draw the line in these issues? Okay, but that whole question of present identity, previous identity, all of those questions, you know, being the focal point, work well if you're talking about Shinui Hashem. They work well if you're talking about all Shinui being one and the same. However, if you're talking about Shinui of Gzela being a Maisa Kinyan for Gzela, then you have, not impossible to explain this, there will be ample flexibility to explain it, but on the surface, these phenomena require explanation. They're initially problematic. What does this have to do with Esna? This is a Kinyan and Gzela. Maybe it requires more, maybe it requires less. You don't necessarily have to destroy the identity or change the identity of the object, right? So, okay. So this connection between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is very, very important. The Limud also is an interesting point here. The Limud in the sense that it seems you would think from here that the argument between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about Shinui, including Shinui Kona, revolves around whether you interpret in the Parsha of Esnan, whether you're Mamait Shinuyehem or not. Correct? That's the Makor for Shinui Kona, Shinui Enu Kona. And we'll see in just a minute, or you might as well just see now, let's read the next Gemara very quickly. I'm just going to survey some of the main Gemaras first, and then we'll backtrack and analyze it more consistently. Omar Rabba. Oh, so that already is a problem. And Tosas already asked the question. Right? Tosas di Ramaskal Hain Velo Shinuyeim says, how come the Gemara quotes two separate Makoros for the same halacha, Shinui Kona? Correct? Just as, by the way, the previous Tosas, Hamani Beis Shammai, discusses how could it be that Gzela and Esnan are the same halacha. And Tulsa says, the Kasavar is Shinui Kona Imkein Royal Hulahatir Shinui Be'esnan, the Choshev Ki'acher, the Einza Oso Shabal Yodo Betoras Esnan, right? Umamis Nami Lamois. Correct? So the, actually, all the Tosas here are important, right? The first one, just very briefly, because we'll get back to them, but Yomra Shinui Kona is where Tosas points out that Tlev and Asa Ayol may not be the classic Shinui. Hapshita the Shinui Kani. The only question is, also Tlev and Asa Ayol. The next Tosas tells us, right, that even though you think that Midin Torah, sometimes Tlev and Ayol are the same, but we know, this is Jonathan's point, that in Karbanos, they're different. Right, miu vadalinin karban, ayol ben shtei shanim, milvsib b'makom acher kevas ben shenoso. So it is and it isn't. That's an interesting case. Let's say you have something which both retains its previous identity and has a different identity, but a different context. Is that enough of a shinui to make a difference, or does it have to be a full shinui, the kol advarin, or will different areas of halacha make a difference? That's the next tosis. Then comes the third tosis, which is hamari beis shammaihi. Right? Go ahead, read it very quickly. Tomar, Echem Edamele, Mayin, Yen Esnan, Eitzel Shinui. Tells exactly zero winning on our problem. Shows that we're reading the Gemara correctly. The answer is, what I just read, the common denominator is identity. Correct? And then comes the fourth Tosas, Hein Velo Shinu Yeim, where Tosas says, well, don't we have another Makar? Read it very quickly. Tame de Besamuch. In a cone, in cone, eh?
In cone, the Darish Asher Gazel.
We call Mako, right?
And we call who by Gozel Kama, the governor, you have the director of Zela, Hamishad Kozer, Espana, with the Zelisha Zela, we call Mako.
Yeah, so there actually the people who learn the Limud exactly the opposite way to deny Shinikone. Go ahead. The Chi Pliga Beis Hillel. Is it possible that all these Makaros are against Beis Hillel holds Shinikone? And that's it again. Now, Beis Hillel really only said what he said about Esna. The Gemara is extrapolating that Esnan and Shinui Kona are the same, but maybe they're not. In which case, at least that part of the problem, maybe in Gzela it doesn't work, and in Esnan it does work. Till now, we've been considering the possibility that just because Shinui is Kona Bigzela doesn't mean it'll work in Esnan. In Esnan, it's about identity. In Gzela, it's about a Kinyan, right? By the same token, one could say the opposite. In Esnan, you know, it's about an identity and about, you know, the continuation of the Iser, or the stigma. But in Gezel, you need a Kenyan. Maybe there's no Kenyan. Right? Okay. Venera? Okay, so basically Tosis comes up with a... Tosis is rejecting the assumption of the question or is accepting it and getting out of it? Yeah, so Tosis ends up saying the two limudim are really one halacha still. What is that one halacha? Same halacha, like you said in the previous Tosis. Because Shinui Kone and Esnan and Reishis Hagez and Bracha and Peya, etc., it's all one halacha, and it's all about identity. The only question is, where do you draw the line, and what is a Shinui for identity? Just like you said, Tle Benasa Ayel might be different from other Shinuis in terms of a change of identity. So too, Shinui Achozo Lebriyaso, it's a very definitely at least an open question. Like if I, you know, woke you up in the middle of the night and I said, Shini's Kona, what about Chozo Lebriyaso? You'd have to think about it. Certainly wouldn't just, you know, turn around and go back to sleep. Right? Say, well, I don't know, Chozo Lebriyaso, it's an interesting question. Is that enough for Shinui to create? It's a question no matter what, but it's certainly a question on the identity level. So Tosa says the two Makaros just expand the one concept of Shinui. And Machlokas on that particular point as well, whether Shinui Chonos Lebriyaso is considered Shinui or not. One could have given a different answer to Tosas' question. Namely, two psukim because two different dinim. Right? Just like if one rejected the previous Tosas Hamani, again, you have to figure out how to read the Gemara. Maybe Shinui Kona Lechud and Esnan and Reish Sagez and Pan, maybe these are different dinim. And they'd be different in both directions. You know, one is about identity. And present also, you have to ask another question, and that is present identity or previous identity. See, like I said before about the butterfly, right? And the what do you call it? I mean, one question is it how different is he now than he was? The other question also is, can we even speak about what he was? Even if he no longer is now what he was, can we talk about his past? Maybe there's some dinim in which we talk about the past. Or we, you know, in order for the halacha not to apply, it has to be such a transformation that the past really is gone. And in other cases, all we care about is that there's a new present, even if there is a past. So in which case, there could be not only two, but maybe several halachos. And we'll get to that in a minute. That could be the pshat and rava. Okay. We'll get to that. Okay. So that's Tosis's view. But certainly one could have said that, though there are two separate dinim here. This is also relevant to Tosas de Ramaskal Haim below Vladosea. What does Tosas ask there? Yitzi? Quickly, if you don't mind.
The
Perikol Atzlamim. Kimchan butter. The menachas. So what's going on? And again, now Tosfos is asking another question. All these questions are all about the same type of question. Are all the sugyas of Shinui the same or not? Tosfos is saying, I found another discrepancy. Right? When it comes to Avodah Zarah, it seems that Kemach and Solas and Chitim, right, is a Shinui. And asking the question, but is there Nevad L'Shinui or not, in Huchas Avodah Zarah, it's a Shinui. And yet, Vlad and Aim, is that a Shinui? Seems like an Avodah Zarah, not. And here, when it comes to Esnan, everybody's agreeing that it is. So they have literally a Stira. Right. So Tosk gives an answer. Go ahead. So here Tosuk is a different answer. Tosuk says the Maisa, what is it? The Maisa Vera, the Revia was done to both. So it's not a question of, you know, it was done to the mother. The question is, what impact does that impact also on the Vlad? Here, both are the, because they're passive. They're you know, karka olam, if you will. And therefore, it's on one as much as on the other. So the Oser applies equally to both. Okay, but here, go ahead. So it's, again, Tosis is basically suggesting it's all one sugya, but there are technical reasons why there is a difference. We'll see if you get a chance to look at the Ritva, that sugya of Artazar, and the Ritva there. The Ritva has a different perspective, which we'll get to. Okay. Either way, that's every one of these Tosisin is zeroing in on this problem. Tosis, as in general, is trying to make Shinui of Kol Tarakula into one big sugya with adjustments. Acknowledging also that there are different levels, but with adjustments. We can see that answering every one of Tosa's question by saying that there's more than one halacha of Shinui and that being mechalik in different directions, both in terms of identity versus kinyan, or even present identity versus past history, may be a very fruitful avenue. Correct? Let's read on now. So then the other Gemara, let's go back to what you're reading. Shinui konik siva utnina, veishav sekzela shagazal matam elomar, imkein shagazal yaksir, la avdam by. Here's another question to raise. Not only is that the makar, what the relationship is to the other makar, but is this just a limud, or is this limud itself reflecting how Shinui Kona works? What do I mean by that, Yitzi?
That if it's a Shinui Kona, then it's a concept.
We're saying Shinui Kona. It is Kona. Right?
Okay.
When we're basing on this limud, im kein shagazal yaksir, im lav, damim boi shlume. I'm just asking, is this just a makar? Or does the particular makar here also suggestive of the way, of the mechanism that this kinyan is working? So if we say that kinyan gzela, kinyan shinu b'gzela is like Esnan and Reishas Hagez, it's like the others completely. So then probably we would say this is a limud. And basically the idea of im ke'en shegazal yaksir im lav boim damim boi shlume refers to the result. In other words, the zechiyah v'eshim is like zeila shegazal. But if it's no longer, if it's panim chadashas bo'u lekan, if it's no longer the chepetz hagazal, then it's no longer v'eshim is like zeila. The zeila is gone. Right? So then the limud is just a limud. And basically the reference to im kein shegazal yachzer lav damim boi shlume refers to the result, the impact of panim chadashas bo'u lekan and nothing more. However, if we take the view that maybe when it comes to shinui kone in gzela, maybe it really isn't about panim chadashas bo'u lekan, or at least not only about that or completely about that at all, then there may be another suggestive way to read the makar, where the makar isn't just teaching us a fact, but it's also it's also revealing how that works. What do I mean by that, Joe?
It's
what?
The
exactly. Maybe what the Gemara is trying to tell us is that shinui is kone because it targets the chiyuv hashava, which was the obstacle, the remaining that's one more extreme, that's the more extreme way to say it. So it's not that shinui is, you know, per se a different identity. Well, maybe there's continuity to the past. Okay, but whatever it is, shinui affects the chiyuv hashava, and that's why it's kone. Shinui isn't a kinyan in its own right, but by neutralizing or negating the chiyuv hashava, it allows the kinyan egzela to kick in and to win the day. So then it's not just a limud of a fact, it's a limud of a method. Or maybe it doesn't have to go that far. Maybe, go ahead.
It's an extended or new ma'is exela.
It could still be a new ma'is exela, but one which still targets the hashava. Not because by targeting the hashava, it allows the original kinyan exela to do everything, but maybe that's the way it completes the kinyan exela, or maybe in the context of there having been a kinyan exela, the ability to now target a remaining aspect of the bailim's domain or dominion, namely by the hashava, that's what makes this into a ma'is exela. I'll explain more fully in a minute. But either way, the various possibilities is that I'm discussing is that the hashava or the lack of hashava isn't the result of shinui kone, but the negation of hashava is part of the method of why it is that shinui is kone. In which case, it's very, very different than esnan or reishis hagez or bracha, etc. Yeah.
One can understand that it's that the inability to fill hashava is what allows you to keep it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we said.
No, that's different than saying that by negating hashava, you're getting rid of that last remaining element which belongs to the...
Right, that's one possibility. Or, what did you say again?
That it's the inability to fill mitzvah hashava, which basically says that since mitzvah hashava requires something else, requires you to give something else, or dummim, then you can keep the object. In other words, it's the inability to fill mitzvah shavah.
Is it the inability, or that is the final act of gzela?
No, it's the inability. I
mean, you don't have a kiyum hashavah anymore.
You can't fill hashavah with this ever, you get to keep it.
Right. Now, it's by dictating that you will not have a kiyum mitzvah hashavah anymore. That is the act of gezel.
I'm not sure I'm saying that it is the act of gezel, or you're saying that we allow you to keep it since mitzvah hashavah dictates you give something else, which...
So we allow... Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
That,
okay.
That is what...
Okay, I'm saying something a little different, but we'll... I think the Sivus is a little bit different. I think... Oh, we'll get to it in a second. You're talking about the Sivus about Kamal Midrabine, the one I gave it to look at. Yeah. I have that in mind, too, but maybe... I'm not sure if we're saying the same thing or not. We'll see in a minute.
Is just removing the obstacle, is the kinyan retroactive?
Maybe. That's a separate question. I think that's a second question. Within the view that what you're doing now is completing the kinyan egzela harishonim, I think there are 2 days, and maybe that's the discussion in the rush, whether that is lamafreya or that is only mikanu laba, but it's mikanu laba still based on the kinyan egzela. I'll sum it all up in a minute.
No one's approach
is? Yeah, yeah. Well, either according to what I'm saying beyond that, And that's what I'm saying is, if it's about the original, the removing of the obstacle, then for sure, or even then there's a, I think even then there are two possibilities, whether it's the Mafreya or not, but it could only be the Mafreya if it's that. If it is, given the context, this is all that's left, this makes this the Maisig Zela, then I think that has to always be Mekan Allah. But whether it's what he said or whether it's what I'm trying to say, if they are indeed different, we'll see in a minute. I also am, what I'm saying for the Nesivos, essentially, which I'll get to in a minute. Okay. So the this is very, very important. Also, two ways to read the Limud, whether it's just a Limud teaching us a halacha, or the Limud is very specific to the way that Shinui Kona works, and in that sense is different than the other Shinuis. Okay, let's continue. Oh, so again, what's fascinating here is that the Gemara wanted Dafka to integrate Shinui Kona and, in this case, Reishis Hages. Correct? Right, Tzavo is the Sugya of Reishis Hages. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on with a bit of a discussion about Yiyush Kani, which we're going to skip for now, but we're going to hopefully pick up on that in a couple of days. I gave the chorus for that. Then the Gemara gets back on Samach. I just want to go through the local Gemaras first on Shinui, and then let's sum up a little bit more. Then go back, if you don't mind, did you also prepare Samach Bama Day?
No.
What? I think I gave that part as part of right, the Gemara talks about Yiyush, and the Gemara says, tries to back and forth, Esve, right, Oros Shabalabayas, Makshava Mitamasan, Shalabadan, Ein Makshava Mitamasan. So the Gemara is trying to prove Yiyush. So the Gemara says, Shemar Mina Yiyush Kana, Amalai Hachim Bimaya, Skinan Kagon Che Kitsa'an. Kitsa'an is Midin Shinui Kona. Correct? So the Gemara says, go ahead, Maskif, did you get a chance to prepare it or not?
No.
No? Okay. Daniil? No? Daniil? What? Okay. Maskifla Rabba Barav Hanan. Hello, it's Vashanu. Shanu Khan. So we have a problem, right? Because there's no kitsua. Elam Rava. Isn't that amazing? In itself? And he kept after him. He wanted an answer to that question. Okay, go ahead. Oh, so is this important Gemara or not? Very, a little.
Yes, very important.
Absolutely. Shkach. Why? I mean, first of all, it took him all those years to come up with the answer. So it's not obvious at all. Right? But the formulation is really important. Because before, we just encountered that there is something aside, side by side with Shini Hashem, Shini Maisa, there's something called Shini Hashem. Right? Now, we're encountering a different formulation in Shinui. And that is that Shinui Hashem is Kishinui Maisa Dami. And an explanation. Shini Maisa Meikara Eitzim Hashta Kelim. Shinui Hashem Meikara Kara Mashka V'Hashta Vars. And this line, at least in the Gemara, question again, there are many lines in the Gemara, the question whether you pass like all of them. But at least this line is a very strong formulation that supports the view that Shinui Kona and Esnan and Reishis, Hages and Brachos and Peya and Avodah Zarah, that it's all one sugya, and that one sugya is about identity. That's what the Gemara is saying. Shinui Maisa itself is Midin Shinui Hashem. It's the same halacha. Question is how seriously we take it. I'll get to it in just a minute. The Rishonim themselves already debated, and then the Acharonim debate. How seriously do we take all this? Okay. Go ahead. Vare Merish.
Vare Merish, Ikashin Hashem, the Mekar, Kishuva, the Ashtik, Allah, the Tanah, the Marsh, the Gozo, the Banok, the Yemesh, the Mokal, the Mokal, the Bank, the Hansasham, the Hansasham, the Hansasham, the Hansasham, the Hansasham, the
Hansasham. So obviously, Shini Hashem alone is not sufficient, right? That's the Gemara's challenging.
I'm going to say Marish Mala, the Tanah, the Tanah, the Tanah,
So again, quoting Psukim, it's fascinating to prove that it still has the same shame. Okay. But in Ochanami, if it had been a Shinui Hashem, it would stand on its own. Okay? Go ahead. Abzei Ramar. Oh, one second. So Abzeir said, before we can get to this point, so here this is a very interesting little tosis. Shini Hashem Kishini Ma'isa Dami. Yeah. So what's he saying? The Gemara doesn't mean it. Right? This is very, very important. The line of the Gemara isn't incredibly important. So if somebody comes along like Bali Tosin and say, well, it doesn't mean it, that's very important too. In other words, What bothered Tosas here was not the implication, like the biggest implication, which is, oh, all Shinu is about change of identity. Yeah, that Tosas is pretty comfortable with. Tosas, on the previous daf, as we just saw, Dibra Maskel, Ha, Mani, Beit Shammai, Dibra Maskel, Heim Velo, Shinu, Yeim, Dibra Maskel, Heim Velo, Vladas. But all of them are pretty happy with the idea that Shinu is about identity. What bothers Tosas here is something else. That is, that Shinui Maisa is Kona L'chud, without a Shinui Hashem. So how could you say that Shinui Maisa is that Shinui Hashem is Shinui Maisa and Shinui Hashem are the same halacha? Right? So that's why Tosus is bothered. So there might be a question here, how do you define a new identity? New identity requires objective action, an objective, transformation. What about an objective transformation, but it still continues to be identified, linguistically in the same way? And what about where linguistically we approach it differently, but there's no objective transformation? Right. Which of these is a more effective transformation of the identity of the object? That seems to be what Tosas seems to be troubled by. And indeed, if you look later on, if you look at the next line of Tosas also, the Gemara says, what's the line in the Gemara first? So, Marish Shema Alav, and then the Gemara says, Rab Zeira Amar, Shinui Achozol B'Riyasa B'Shinui Hashem, La V'Shinui. So again, are we to be medayik in this Gemara that, and that's as opposed to Shinui Maisa? And that's, are there differences between Shinui Hashem and Shinui Maisa, even if they both work? And is one of the differences Chozel Briyaso? And if so, is that because technically the level of change of identity is just defined in a different way for each? Let's say Chozel Briyaso is more important in Shinui Hashem than it is in Shinui Maisa, even if Shinui Maisa and Shinui Hashem are both about the identity of the object, but there are two ways to change identity. Right? One is objectively, and the other is linguistically. So the point is, if it's linguistic and it's temporary, or if it's linguistic and it isn't permanent, which might be two different things, you have to define what Chozel Briyaso is, right? So it's too flimsy. Right? For the linguistic, which isn't objective, to take hold, it has to at least be permanent. That makes it objective. Not objective in terms of characteristics, but at least in terms of... But if it's temporary linguistic, it's nothing. It's too flimsy. Is that what's going on? As opposed to Shinui Maisa, where the fact is that it's different. A Shinui was done to it. So then we don't care until you undo it. If you undo it, that's a different matter. But until you undo it, the fact that it could be undone is not enough. That's one way to explain, if indeed that's the point. Is the Gemara saying, Shinui Chozel Brasim B'Shinui, Hashem lo hava Shinui. But not true b'shuni ma'isa. That's why many Rishonim understand the Gemara. If the Gemara is saying b'shuni Hashem or b'shuni ma'isa because they're identical, then this whole discussion is not correct. But there's another way to explain the difference between Chozel B'riyaso, b'shuni Hashem and b'shuni ma'isa. And that would be, Daniel, if we would say, so far we explain if there is a difference. Number one, we're not sure if there's a difference. So it sounds a little bit like that in the Gemara, and some Rishonim interpret that way. Right? Number two, even if there is a difference, maybe we could explain it technically, and that is, you know, temporary linguistic is too flimsy, as opposed to temporary but objective, not just linguistic. Or it could be that there's a difference between Shinui Hashem and Shinui Maisa from another point of view. Namely, Shinui Maisa and Shinui Hashem both work, but they work on different bases. If Shinui Hashem works as a question of identity, so maybe identity that lapses is not a changed identity. But Shinui Maisa, it's not just because it's objective and therefore the change is considered Panim Chadashos, even though it could lapse. Maybe it's the Shinui, the act of Shinui itself. Okay, so we'll get back to that. Either way, then the Gemara continues. So the Gemara is challenging the very idea even of Enochozol Briyasa of Shinui Hashem. Right? Took them all those years to come up with this idea. Now they want to undo it. They want to make it Chozol Briyasa. Yeah. Go ahead, Vitanya. Sina Shechak, go ahead. Okay. So that's how the Gemara gets out. Go ahead. Yachi. Okay. So let's go a little more. Kulin v'hashte hekdesh. So these are all cases of Shinui Hashem. Go ahead. Well, we have to explain why they really are Shinui Hashem in these cases, whether because maybe they're Chozol Briyasa. That's what Rishonim discuss as well. We'll get back to it. And why they may be Chozol Briyasa? The Rajman tells us discuss this, among others, because they're Nitan L'She'ela. Let's say you're Shoel on the Hafrasha. So is that considered Shinui Hashem She'ena Chozol Briyasa or Chozol Briyasa? Nitan L'She'ela. But in present time, and until you do something, it's not going to lapse by itself. Is that considered Chozol Briyasa or not? Oh, Tosa says, Eino Shchiach. And the Rajba says, it's not natural. I mean, it's artificial. You would have to rewrite history in order to be Shoel al Ha. Tosa says two very totally different definitions of Chozol Briyasa. Right? So we'll get back to that too. But according to the Rajma, the definition of Chozol Briyaso is something which lapses by itself, naturally. And therefore that ease more easily can be defined as it's not a real transformation. It's a temporary transformation. That's why I said there's a difference between a temporary transformation and not necessarily a permanent transformation. That's what I meant. According to the Rajba, being Shoel al Truma is not Chozol Briyaso, because if you just leave things as they are, then it'll stay Hekdesh and it'll stay Truma. So it's a question of its natural state. Bali Tosus, on the other hand, you just read the line very quickly. Mikar Tivla, Avagav the Shinui. So that's totally different, meaning it sounds like the fact that it will not lapse alone. Let's say people are commonly revise history. Okay. So that means it's causal abriyal. I mean, the question is, how likely is it that it'll stay as it is? Even though, naturally, if you leave it alone, it'll be what it is. Right? That might be a very different concept of causal. For halacha l'maisa, it's totally different. There are many nafkamina between those cases of causal abriyal, things that will or won't qualify for causal abriyal. But also, maybe conceptually, in terms of what's the problem of Chozol Briyasa? Is it an identity problem? Is it the quality of the Shinui alone? So we'll get back to that. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of cases of Chozol Briyasa aren't natural.
So we'll have to examine them. Right. So the Chachma Shlomo, and some of the other poskim say as well, that there are different levels of Chozol Briyasa. We'll discuss that. Yeah. Go ahead. Amrav Chizda. Asher gazal lamalei lemechta. The heishem is like zeila. I should have said. Asher gazal lamalei lemechta. Yeah. So again, this idea that this, of course, would counter what we talked about. It tells us earlier, which is, does this man damar deny all shinui kona, right, or only certain types? Correct. Tosus was talking about the quality of the shinui. It's possible that this mandama really denies the whole concept of shinui kona. What will he do with Beis Hillel? That's Tosus' question. We said before is it's possible that, like Rava said, just because he holds shinui ena kona doesn't mean that leinin esnan, leinin reishis hagez, leinin brachos, or maybe that whole group, or at least some of the group, that you would say the equivalent of impact of shinui. Correct? So this is a very, very important thing. That's number one. Number two, again, just as we asked the question on the limud for shinui kona, right, is the neutralizing of the chi of hashava, is that part of the mechanism of how it works? So too we can ask on the other side, if shinui, according to the mandamar, shinui ena kona, because mekomokom boi lahashiv, is that because that's the problem? Namely, you can never neutralize the chi of hashava. Lu yitzur, you could. That's how shinui kona would work. But the argument really isn't about shinui kona per se. It's about whether or not you can ever neutralize the chi of hashava on the bed. That's an important question as well. Okay. Then we have the Gemaras in the beginning of the ninth parak. Okay, who prepared that? Zvi, you rather prepare that? What? Yeah, Tzadi Gimel. What is it? Tzadi Gimel Beis. Just if you could just run through the Shakavatari very quickly. And then I want to get into the main Gemaras first. There are other Gemaras, obviously, too, but these are the main Gemaras that we're dealing with. We've already raised several questions. Let's just see whether they repeat themselves in this sugya, the beginning of a Gosa. Go ahead. Mishnah? Yeah, just run through quickly. Yeah. Everything happens. In other words, he gets it, and then the Ibor and then the Leda happens both. Zaklal. Okay. And this we know, this is the relationship between that and Rav's Kain Shaganov is something that we have already discussed. Okay, but the mission again seems to establish. The rule of shinui kona in cases of etzem asan kelim, semar asan begadim, and either giza or leita. Okay. Those seem to be four cases that the Mishnah considers to be shinui kona. Correct? Okay, go ahead. Amri?
Etzem asan kelim in shiba no, semar asan begadim in libna no, remaining, gaza etzem in shiba navarim the sititan, semar the libnan.
Oh, so now we're questioning, this is very important Gemara, what is the threshold of shinui? What level of shinui is required to be considered shinui kona? Go ahead. Rabbaya. Oh, so now Rabbaya's contribution here is shinui dehadra, which was related to what Joe was asking a second ago. Some of these cases are not hadra, are not automatically. Either, but on the other hand, you don't really need to do anything to make them hadra either in some cases, right? Just need to take them out of their context. So we have to figure out exactly where to draw the line. I don't know if I have a chance to do this now, but that's what the Rishonim and what the Poskim do. But either way, Abaye characterizes Shinui HaChozel Briyaso as Shinui Drabana. It's also interesting, because others, in terms of the Rishonim and the Poskim, many believe that Shinui HaChozel Briyaso, or Tosas that we discussed before, that Shinui HaChozel B'Riyaso could be Daraisa, at least in combination with other things. Yeah.
I remember, I think, as I've maybe said in the past, Right.
You don't even consider until it happens.
So right. That's what I mean by revisionist history. That might be even more radical.
Even though you, the other ones also aren't natural or artificial, but the point is
right.
that...
That's a different way to draw the line. This is revisionist.
Those,
right.
So you can't even think
not only is it not natural or usual, it's the opposite. Barthol's point is correct. I've said this in the past, absolutely. The Bali Tosis asks this question about Hasra Safek in a number of places. And asks a question about Afkin Rabban of the Kiddush Mineith as well. Namely, just if you can do something to trigger an Akira Lamafreya, does that mean that there's not going to be Hasras Vadai in the present? Tosas in Shabbos, and Tosas in Gittin Daf Lamed Gimel, Tosas in Shabbos Abdalid, all over the place. Tosas in Ksuvis, Shonim in Ksuvis. That's the question that they ask. And they give different answers to this question. But one of the answers may be that... So one of the answers, no, Mechusar Maisa. If you leave things as they are, that's Hasras Vadai. That's what we just said. Or Shriach, Lo Shriach is an answer that Rishonim give. But another answer is, and that's another place to draw the line, is there, even if you were to say, even if you were to go further, it will constitute Hasra Safek, or in our case, will constitute Shinui, one might say that the place at least where you draw the line is where we are doing, where we are rewriting or revising history. It's one thing to say, you know, oh, you might take action to undo what's being done. But when you undo what's done, lemafreya, in a revisionist history way, that's particularly something that we do not ever anticipate. It's something that some can do, but until it's done, it's never anticipated. So it would be a further place, I agree with you, to draw the line, to explain why Truma and Hekdesh are certainly not Chozer Libriyasa. 100%. Okay, go ahead. Anyways, this is called Chozer Libriyasa. Here it's called Shinui Drabanan, as opposed to Shinui Daraisa. Esau Masan Kalim, go ahead. That's one view of the Gemara. Ravashi Amar. So this is Shinui Dafka Sheina Chozer, correct? Then the Gemara says V'libun Mihava Shinui. Where are you? Oh. So again, is the argument here about just a technical argument, how you define how much shinui do you require and whether libno is enough? Or is the argument really what you want to accomplish through shinui? If you really need a total panim chadashas ba'olakan and you need one also that divorces the present from the past, which are 2 points, that's even more emphasis in other words. Not only is it not what it was, it's so not what it was that its past is not Mitzuraf either. Right? So then maybe you need a higher standard of Shinui. If it's enough to break the present and the past, even if it isn't a full identity, or if it's enough to have a full identity, even if it doesn't require a complete divorce from the past, then we can get away with a lesser Shinui. So all these debates have to be understood as either technical arguments where to draw the line, or the where to draw the line itself is an indication of what we want from Shinui Kone. In the case of Goslin, Kinyan, and Ashava, and all that, which we'll get back to in a minute, in the other cases, are we interested in the present, in breaking the full connection to the past, or are we interested in even going further and divorcing any link to the past? Okay, go ahead, Rav Amar.
Rav Amar, how about
okay, so we're going to have to investigate this a little bit in some of the cases. For example, Libun. What about Libun for Reishis Hagez? What about Libun for Gzela? Etc. We'll see that some of these cases are, what about Chozel Briyaso? What about Kle Benasa Ayel? Is it possible that we're Mechalek between different areas of Halacha? That would be the most interesting. Okay, go ahead.
Actually,
Tanya Gaza's Rishon, Rishon, Mitzavo, Rishon, Rishon, Mitzavo, Rishon, Rishon, Argo, Inisai, Rishon, Rishon, Homer, Rishon, Rishon, Savo, Inisai, Amaya Lokasha, Haravana, Luka, Rishon, Harashon, Yudha, Rishon.
Harav Shimon Yehuda. Go ahead. I'll leave it up to Shimon. I'll leave it up to Shimon. Go ahead. Rav Amar? Okay. Chiktoni Hasam. The Kol Ilan.
The
Lo Avar. Kol Ilan is the thing that looks like Trelis. Okay. Go ahead. Amar Abaya. Oh. So this is the big statement of Abaya, that all the sugyas are one sugya. Now, the truth is that alone, unvarnished, it sounds like, you know, what we were saying for Tosis before, and our Gemara before. And it definitely goes better with the view that change of identity and even one level of change of identity, one might say, is what's koveya for all of these issues. However, there is, of course, another way to look at it all, and that is, even according to Abaya, go ahead, Barkno.
Where Abaya takes a thin mice and makes a statue of the mice.
Yeah, even according to Abaya, it could be that Shini works differently in different contexts, but it still needs to have a common denominator of all of them. And namely, that if there isn't a certain amount of Shinui, which, you know, which is viewed as that if you don't have the element of at least additional identity or maybe even new identity, if not necessarily as far as breaking or divorcing completely with the past, if you don't have that, then it's not considered a ma'ase either. Now, it's not that Esnan and Reish Gez and Bracha and Bea and Gezel, or at least Gezel and the others, it's not that they work the same way, but that they have to have a common denominator. Mashal Madover Doma. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz's line on Samech Ayin Beis that we already discussed, which was, even if you hold maybe Shini, whether Shini Kona or Shini Eina Kona is going to be relevant for Kefel, whether you say Turah Gon V'Minach, Dikra Gon V'Minach, not because Shini Kona affects Kefel, Baruch Dov, but it's a shiur in the Shinui. I mean, if you hold Shini Eina Kona, and it's not because in principle Shini can never be Kona. It's because you think Klevenasa Ayel or whatever is specifically not Kona, or maybe you feel generally, but you think the reason that Shini is not Kona is because, you know, you can never get rid of the past and there's always continuity. So either if it's because specifically in a particular case you think that it still retains too much tziruf with the past, or because you believe in principle no one can ever, nothing can ever run away from or divorce itself from its past. A very interesting issue. Shinu b'mekomo omed, which is interesting, the language even that they use sometimes, right? If that's what you think, so then even if it works in a totally different way according to the Mandamar, you don't need, it's a shear in whether or not we consider this to be a significant action or event. So that's a secondary approach to Abaya. Yeah. But as I said, it depends on what I just said now also, which is it a point of, you know, where you draw the line in specific things, etc. And then maybe you might say Shini Hashem is different than Shini Maisa, etc. Again, one is more objective, one is more to the point of a new identity and status, etc. Or is there also a bigger question here, and that is, like, you know, can you ever outrun your past, in theory? In which case, it doesn't matter whether it's Shini Hashem or Shini Maisa. We're saying Shini b'mekoma omed. Shini b'mekoma omed is a halacha. Not that any Shini that you give me is going to fall short. The past is part of the present. A very philosophical idea, right? And you can never divorce from your past. You can do tshuva.
It goes along with
could be, right? I mean, you know, even a person who does tshuva is avonos ar lefanav tamid in the good sense, right? He says eni oso ish and his mishana shemo veomer eni oso ish, but he still does vidui every year on those past, and it's befanav. You're not allowed to remind him of him, but he That's an interesting and important question. What is the relationship between the past? A ger, you say, ger shen is guy, or katan shenola dami. He has a totally different, he wipes his slate clean. But even he doesn't wipe his slate clean completely vis-a-vis his previous status as a benoach. In other words, whatever the overlaps are, you know, they still retain too, somewhat. It's an interesting question. To what extent can one ever, and that maybe is the point here, even according to, not that it's all one halacha, it works the same way. No, Gzela works by neutralizing Hashava, or as a Maisa Kinyan, because the change of the identity in its own right maybe wouldn't be enough, etc. You need a Kinyan, etc. Or you don't need a change of identity completely. All you need is a Kinyan. But there has to be some significant transformation. If you hold Shinu B'mkom Eid, no matter what you do to something, it's past plus, it's the past plus. It's the past plus plus, it's the past triple plus. But the past is still there. You just can't get past it, the past. Right. So then you're still going to be stuck. So that's an alternative to Abaye. Okay. Continue. Hada Maran. Right, this is the range here is tremendous, right? What was Rav Shimon Elazar about? Shimon Elazar was about Reish Lagez, right? Okay, now we have Esnan. And even these limudim are just so fascinating. Gam shneim l'rabos shinuyehem. So is he saying that the shinuy is not chal, that there's no change, or is he saying afal pichein? Right, it is a shinui, there is a chalos shinui, but the shinui helps you for the present, it doesn't help you for the past. This is a past halacha. It's another issue. Or, with all the shinuyim, the biggest shinui in the world is still the present plus, it's still the past plus the present. You can't get rid of it. Or, you can get rid of it, but you can't get rid of it. You can get rid of it in the present, but you can't get rid of it as the past. That's a Madrega too. So it could be that even within the non-Gezo one, that's what I'm trying to point out here, Esnan, Reishas HaGez, Bracha, Avodah Zarah, Peya, it could be that some things depend on the present, some things depend on the, well, what about my past, as a past? I know it's no longer here. We'll see that in a minute, the Me'isi. Okay, go ahead.
This one I crossed.
Below Shinuyeim. Okay, that's exactly the quotation of the Gemara we had before. Aksiv Gam. Okay, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Beirech Nietz Hashem. Go ahead. Very important idea in Mitzvah Bava Vera, which we'll get back to when we get to when we pick up next semester with Samach Zion with the Tosas. Okay. Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Mayhi. So here's what we have, Gzela. Right, the others you could have said, okay, all Abai is saying is all the identity ones are identity. They're all, even that's not so clear that they're all the same for the nuanced reason that I'm trying to project about the past and the present and the present and the past and all that. But now that we're including Gzela as well, that's particularly interesting. And of course, again, consistent with the quotation of Beis Shammai's Esnan on Samachei Amud Beis. Okay, go ahead. And what's Rabbi Shmuel? That's Peya. Tanya? Achlo Mircho. Mircho Maaser. Even when Aisa, when it's transformed, even then you can be Mafresh Peya. The no saying law. Avalera Papa Labaya. Kalani Tanai. They felt there was no such machlokas. Okay, now we come to Rava. I'm a Rava.
Mishum ben Yehuda Hasam Elavit Saba Tal Yachol Ha'avira Ayin Tzom.
So that's already a technical point in Rava. The first one is, namely, how do you define Shinui? The Chozel Briyasa. Let's Yachal Avirai De Tzafun. Yachal Avirai De Tzafun is, again, it's not Chozel Briyasa naturally, right? But it's also not revisionist history. Right? That's sort of the point that Baruch Dov made, which I've said in the past, and I fully concur in this context too, is 100% correct. Namely, Yachal Aviro in the future is different than Yachal Akro in the past. Yachal Akro in the past is better and worse. Right? It's worse because it never happened. Yigalei Milsom afraid there never was a Shinui. On the other hand, it's totally revisionism. And therefore, we might never anticipate that until it happens. Okay, continue. So this is, of course, very important. What's the factor of Gavoa? The whole idea of Gavoa may be, that's exactly the point. The point is, in certain halachos, we depend on the present. But when it comes to Gavoa, the stigma of the past is something that we care about as well. So this is the point where, inochanami, panim chadash is baolakan. That doesn't mean the memory is wiped out. So for certain halachos, we don't care about the memory, we care about the reality of the present. For Gavoa, oh, that's the one. That's the Esnan. Not anymore. Panim Chadash is Baolakan. But that's what it was. Imois le Gavoa. Go ahead. Bad Kanlokam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. This could be the same idea. The stigma. Yeah. Okay, that's already more technical in the Shinui. Bad Kanlokam Rabbi Shmuel. What's the point of the Taz of Yisera? Again, this idea that even if it's something that was Peah, it's Mechuyah. Or that was subject to Peah in the past. Taz of Yisera. Extra Taz of. Go ahead. Manasaniyim, shiny. Ligma minayim, sorry. Manasaniyim, shiny. Okay, actually, we're going to leave that. That mafka the karma is a very fascinating gemara, but let's leave it at that for now. Okay. So basically, what we see from this sugya, so Rava basically could be challenging, especially in the Gezel level, etc. You know, once you say that it's all not the same halacha, it's possible that Shinui Kone is totally different. Or that even Rava agrees it's all about identity. The real issue is to figure out whether past identity, present identity, that whole issue. Okay, so let's just back up for a minute. We have to stop in a few minutes, but let me just back up for a minute and just put all this into context. So far we've seen our local Gemara through Samech Zayin, and the first daf, and of course it's more that continues on here in Bava Kamma, in the ninth parak. And we see all sorts of equations, as well as chilukim, shinui in different areas of halacha, different types of shinuyim, an argument where to draw the line, which is either an argument technically, what is a shinui, or what do you need shinui to accomplish, how much of a break from the past, etc. Okay. So I think that basically what we've come out with so far from these gemaras, Samach Yemud Beis, Samach Vav Amud Aleph, Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, is that there are two perspectives on our local issue of Shinui Kona. One is that Shinui Kona of Gazlan is merely a Kenyan application of a larger identity-based concept. It's the same halacha. Esnan and Reishis Hagez and Bracha and Peah. It's all one halacha. Shinui Kona sounds different. That's only because, you know, we have to investigate the mechanics a little more. But the way it works is very simply. And that is, when Panim Chadashos is Ba'u Lakan, and there is no strong category of Rishus HaBailim, so then the new Panim Chadashos get created in a vacuum. And that vacuum is picked up by the new Bailim, by the Gazel. In other words, Shinikona works only for Goslin, or maybe also for Mishana Midas Balabayas, the Mishnah Daf Kufa Medes in Gozel as well. We talked about it last year, maybe working in the context of Uma and Kona Bishvach Kli. That's because in all of these situations, and only in these situations, you have that kind of vacuum, or you have a reshus into which this Panim Chadashos comes into being. Whereas in other cases, even if it's Panim Chadashos, but the reshus is still the reshus of the original owner, original Bible. Yeah.
Last year, didn't we say that another story could be that whoever creates it owns
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's true. Kone Shemai Varetz.
The difference would be, let's say, someone else did the shinui in your reshus.
Right. That's true. Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to get into that right now, but absolutely. Right. That's the idea of Kone Shemayim Varetz. So the Maisei Adayim, I give the example of Reb Chaim's explanation of the Shechinim of the Yerushalmi, that if you're Zoreya, Sada, Sada Shal Hefker, you're also Chayim Trumas Maisers. Absolutely. And I think that helps also in the Sugyas of Poel, you know, Yar Betot, Sada Shal Chaver, Shalom Breshus, the idea that there's when do you say Roy Ashbach and Maisei Adayim? Absolutely. So I think there is that additional element as well. But according to the Rishonim, I think we saw last year, that some would say that it's Midin Shinui Kone, and it's more classical, more general. It could be based on this idea. So basically then, Shinui Kone is just an application of Panim Chadashos that applies to this halacha because there's no status of Pikadon or the Rishus of someone else to interfere. And therefore, it's like, you know, it's like a hefker chefetz that you came upon, or that was in your chotzer, or something like that. Okay. The connection to Reish Lagez, to Peah, to Esnazona, to Avodah Zarah, to Brachos, works particularly better, Abaye even better than Rava, although, as we said, we can get out of it for Rava, and we can get out of it for Abaye. Okay. The connection to Shinui Hashem, I think, works much better this way. There's still room to be mechalek in either direction, whether Shinui Hashem is stronger or weaker than Shinui Maisa. As I say, in terms of the goal, Shinui Hashem is preferred. In terms of the objective Shinui, we might say that linguistics without a real change is just too subjective. And here we also might be mechalik between the Torah's linguistics, especially if it's chad mashmai, if it's clear-cut. It's not that there's mixed signals, like in Tleva Ayo, let's say you have something where it's clear. Torah says this is what it's called. Right, so that might be different than Lashon B'nei Adam. In terms of Panim Kadoshos, the reality, halachic reality, is established by Din Torah. And there are Rishonim who say that, that Shinui Hashem of HaKasuv is, even if, let's say, it doesn't look to us as if it's a bigger change. But, and maybe this would be true in Gezeila, that would be an interesting question, whether we'd be mechalik between Eslan Zonah and Reishis Hagez, etc., and Gzela in that question. Do we care about Lashon Akra specifically? But this whole idea of Shinui Hashem points in the direction of not so much active Kinyan, but identity. So Samach Hamad Beis, we know that Shinui Hashem works. And Samach Vav Hamad Beis, we're being told that it doesn't just work, but that it may be the source of everything. And if you look at Tosas on Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis, Tzvi, do you mind?
Which one?
Question. Eitzim Vason Caleb, right?
Yeah.
Buchning, yeah. Dach, go ahead.
Dach Kashibri, Ki Hai Shinaz Kach Buchning.
So this Tosas reads quite differently than Tosas on Samech Hamad Beis and Samech Vav Med Aleph. Tosas Samech Hamad Beis and Samech Vav Med Aleph seem to be saying that Shinui Maisa stands alone. And on the contrary, maybe Shinui Hashem is inferior, and as maybe the Gemara is saying that Nafkamina Lagabe Chazal Briyaso, Right? This Tulsa seems to be saying what, Tzvi? That Shinui Maisa requires a Shinui Hashem. The truth is that the Ramban says this very strongly in the piece I told you to look at. I hope you all saw it. On Kufin Dalet Amud Aleph. Mem Aleph Amud Aleph and Daf Erif. I hope we'll be able to discuss the particulars of it. But even as a formulation, it's a very well known and a very important Ramban. You have it there, Ritzi? Mem Aleph Amud Aleph and Daf Erif. He's trying to figure out some of these discrepancies. Go ahead.
Can you hear much better?
Okay, but just very quickly. Yeah, go ahead. It's talking about the cases of Utzva and so on. Go ahead.
Smash has all the Yish, the Shinu Mesa, called the Kami, the Oro Shal, Gana, the Rabbanan, the Kimna, the Lord, the Kitsa, and the Alabisha, Utzva, Amen, Sweet, and Kitsa. Even the Eka Shinu Hashem, the Hadi Yish.
This is the view of the Balamar, that some sort of combination of Yish and Shinu Hashem, that in itself we'll have to discuss. Okay. Oh, so what do we see from our Gemara? Again, these are the Gemaras. We haven't seen all of them because there are a few more in Gozel Eitzin, there are a few more in Gozel Machil. We don't have time, so we're not going to be able to exhaust this, but at least we can hit the basic issues, which I think we're trying to do. But so Tulsa says the Gemara in Meruba sounds like Shini Hashem works even without Yish. Right? So it can't be that you need a combination of Yush and Shini Hashem. Go ahead. Gazal Tznan. The midame from the money, so there can't be. It's not that there's yush and shina shem. There's no yush in that case. Hilkach, I'm sorry. Di lo temahachi. Hello, Korcha. Now we see what the Ramban's doing here. What's he doing? He's quoting a line in the Gemara. We see the Ramban always does this. Just that you always have to realize the remarkable control of the Ramban. He's just picking out that line in the Gemara now on Samech Vav Amud Beis. He's saying what it really means is what it says, not like what Tosas said. Tosas on the spot says it doesn't mean what it says, right? Then later Tosas in the Gozel seems to be close to it, but Ramban is saying it means what it says. Shema mina b'shini Hashem b'chud kani d'kshinu ma'isa dami kin b'farish b'gemara the od. Oh, now that's different than what Tulsa says too a little bit. Or maybe it isn't, but at least it's a clearer formulation. Namely, what's he saying? Every Shini Maisa is a Shinui Hashem. Mishum de Nishna Nishimo. And whether you also require, therefore, a Shinui Hashem, even if you do, it's a Shior in the Shini Maisa. Like we said before, Hilkach. So now he's explaining that really the yisod of Shinui Shinui Maisa is Shinui Hashem. And therefore, if you have a pure Shinui Hashem, that is as good, if not better, than a Shinui Maisa. Because what makes Shinui Maisa important is the fact that it's a Shinui Hashem. That's even stronger than what Tulsa says, which is that every Shinui Maisa needs a Shinui Hashem. It could be that Tulsa means Shinui Maisa is still Shinui Maisa, but without a Shinui Hashem, lo shma Maisa Shinui. Ramban is saying more than that. Okay, go ahead. Okay, actually, we're going to just skip down a little bit.
Then he says in the bottom, "Yitachein," because he asked a question from Truman Hekdesh, the Gemara that we read. "Yitachein shenomar dechi aminin shini Hashem belechud kani heichad avas shini Hashem machmas maisa kagon utzva umarish imen echozel briyaso aval mi sheyikra shem meatzmo legzela shabiyado ein ze shini Hashem shein odam kore shem ladavar shein eshalom." Very fascinating. Vein's a shame call. We'll get back to it. So basically, the Ramban's formulations are really pure. Number one, Shini Hashem is the Yisod of Shini Maisa. However, he says, so if that's the case, so why not any time you're Kore Shame to something, give it a different name? Not fake, let's say, but you know, you give it a different function, therefore you give it a different name, so it should work. And it seems like it's not true. Like you need a Shini Maisa in those cases. But why? It's a Shini Hashem. So the Ramban says two answers, essentially. One is that in that case, the Shini Hashem is Chozel Abriyaso, because since it's not yours, you're Gezov Lonus Yahshua Bailim, so the Bailim will come and they'll undo it. So it's only a temporary Shini Hashem. Inami, that's the second answer, actually. The first answer was, the Shinui Maisa is what objectifies the Shinui Hashem. Because Ein Adam, a person who's not a Bailin doesn't have the right to be Korei Shem, not just say, hold on, do it. A function of Bailus is the ability to change the status of an object that you own. Fascinating. To be Kore Shem, you have to be a Bailin. And therefore, without Shinui Maisa, which objectifies the Shinui Hashem, if it's just arbitrary, it's just a whim, it's just, you know, Maisa Gavra, you don't have the Bailus for that. So either you need Yiyush, so it looks like you need Yiyush in order to accomplish Shinui Hashem. It looks like you need Shinui Maisa in order to accomplish Shinui Hashem. But it's really not true. The real Mechayev is the Shinui Hashem. Just that without either Yiyush or the objective Maisa, either you're staring in the face, Chozel Briyaso, or even more fundamental, you don't have the right, you don't have the ability to be Mishana Shemo. It's a Bailus problem. That's different than saying, even what Tosa said, which is every Shini Maisa also needs a Shini Hashem, maybe to as a Shir on the Shini Maisa, it's hard to know. The Ramban is the most forceful about this idea. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to stop here. I just want to make another point. In Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shin Samech, so there's a Ramah also that seems to say like Tosas. Here, Abu Gazel Eitzim V'Shifan V'Katzan Achokapem V'Asa Kela Moksha Gazel Tzemer V'Tzvo V'Nefatzo Limno, etc. Or is a Shinu Biyado, etc. Then the Ramah adds, "Ve'ein nikra shinui elim kein nishtana shem agzela mikoach hashinui." This is a quotation of the Torah. Shinui maisa depends on there also being a shinui hashem. That's the Torah. So the question is, does the Torah really mean that or not? And if so, is there any difference between shinui maisa and shinui hashem? So the Nesiva says there's a difference between Shini Hashem of a Pasuk and Shini Hashem of Lashon B'nei Adam. Shini Hashem of Lashon B'nei Adam requires a combination of Shinui Maisa and the linguistics. Again, the Ramban will probably agree with that too, but for a different reason. Mm-hmm. Right? Because with the Ramban, without the Shinui Maisa, you don't have the right to be Kore Shem. That's not necessarily the idea of the Nesivas. But that's if you have Shinui Shalapasuk, which is objective and sanctioned by the Torah, so then maybe you don't need it. The Chachma Shlomo, the Shlomo Kluger on the spot in Shulchan Aruch, has a different chiluk. He says the difference is between Shinui Demimela and Shinui Biyadayim. Shinui Biyadayim doesn't require Shinui Hashem. Shinui Demimela requires Shinui Hashem. Maybe two Mechayivim. Either way, what's fascinating is the Nesivos and the Ksos both struggle. How do you work out the sugyas if you really hold that Shini Hashem is necessary for every Shini Maisa? which again, a little different than the Ramban's, even more extreme emphasis, every Shinui Maisa is a Shinui Hashem. That's necessarily, and you need one, but, okay. So they have that problem. But if you look at the Gra on the spot, the Gra says, I think that the Tur and the Ramah, the Ramah's quoting the Tur, but he said, I think the Tur just misunderstood Tosas and took it too far. Tosas on Tzadi Gimel Mibes meant in that particular case it's an exception. The real view of Tosas is like on Samach Hamad Beis and Samach Bab Madal. Two different dinim. Here and there, there's a certain Shinui Maisa which needs also the assistance of Shinui Hashem to be objectified. Okay. In any case, this is, if you take the approach that we're dealing with one single idea. The other perspective is that Shinui Kone and Gzela is totally different. Totally different. It may also require some change in the identity, and there might be overlaps. Again, if you believe that the past is never gone, so maybe that's a common denominator that undermines both Shinui Kone and Shinui of identity. But, by and large, we're dealing with two different dinim. The reason that Shinui Kone is limited to Goslin is because the Kinyan Gzela. This would work better for Rava than Abaya. It would leave us open to explaining the two psukim as two completely different dinim. It would also leave us open to consider that the definitions then are going to be different. For example, we're going to pick up with this on Sunday, Libun, right? Tlevin Asa Ayel, Chozel Abriyaso. If we're mechalek between Gzela and these other contexts in either direction, it becomes harder to say, oh, the question is simply where to draw the line, what is a Shinui? It becomes more likely that the issue is, what role does Shinui play? And maybe it plays a different role for each of these halachas. So that's what we're going to pick up with, and also the connection to Ashava. We'll try to finish up as much as we can. If we can finish up everything, that would be the best, on Sunday. And then start working on Yush. So I guess the Bechina is scheduled for when? 2 weeks from today? You want to move it to Sunday?
I think we should move it.
Speak among yourselves. If there's a very, very, you know, it's, in these things, it's like this. You know, the people who want to keep it at the status quo, it's like in a revisionist history.